Now you have the testing of the Lord Jesus. We call it the temptation, and you'll see why in a moment, why I call it the testing of the Lord Jesus. Now I want you to notice this in particular, because this is very important to see. We have here Jesus being full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. Now, if you'll notice that the synoptic gospels record the temptation. And when I say synoptic, I mean Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They're written from the same viewpoint. But John does not record the temptation. He is presenting the Lord Jesus as the Son of God, and the emphasis is upon the deity. Now, the synoptic gospels place the emphasis upon his humanity. He was tempted as a man. And friends, as God, he cannot be tempted. You will notice that he is the Son of Man in the Gospel of Luke. That's what the last verse said of chapter 3. He's the son of Enos, which is the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. Son of Adam takes him right back to where we are all a member. Now, he was in all points, therefore tempted like as we are, yet without sin. There is a frightful and fearful darkness about the temptation of our Lord that's an appalling enigma. And I must confess I can't explain it, but I'll take you to the very edge, and there at the fringe, I hope we can learn something. There were unseen and hidden forces of evil, and he was surrounded by powers of darkness and destruction. He grappled with basic problems of mankind, that which is earthy. And he won a victory for mankind. He won a victory for me. Now, there are several preliminary considerations that we need to look at here. We are told he was full of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Son of God, as man, needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit to meet the temptation. And friends, I cannot face the temptations of this world. I can't do it in my own strength. Paul said, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. That's Romans 7:21. Haven't you found that to be true? Paul says again in Romans 8:3, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. The flesh is weak, not the law. God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemns sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And then again, in Galatians 5:16, Paul said, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And Deuteronomy 8:2 said, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou shouldst keep his commandments or no. In other words, God was testing them, and God never tests anyone with evil, you see. Now, we are told, therefore, that he was tested, and our Lord was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Mark says, immediately the Holy Spirit driveth him. In other words, our Lord did not seek the temptation. And he could pray even at the Garden of Gethsemane, let this cup pass. These people today that more or less pride themselves lying on a board filled with nails, and a lot of Christians do that today. They sort of magnify their troubles. We do not need to do that. Now, the temptation did not begin at the end of the 40 days. What he's saying here is, when they were ended, he afterward hungered. That is, being 40 days tempted of the devil, all during those 40 days, and all his life. And it didn't end in the wilderness, because the Garden of Gethsemane was another onslaught of Satan. And verse 13 here says, when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Now, that's something that we need to notice in particular. Another thing is the devil a person? Well, I understand that 30% to 90% of ministers today say no. I believe the devil is a person. The scripture makes it clear. Did he come in bodily form? Did he come in a spirit? Or did he come as an angel of light? Well, it says our Lord met him face to face. The subtlety of Satan. One time he's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The next time he's an angel of light deceiving even those, if they were not the elect, they'd be deceived. And the test here is quite interesting. What does it mean when it says he was tempted? Well, it has a twofold meaning. To tempt means inciting and enticing to evil. It means to seduce. And that always rests upon the fact that there's something in the individual that causes him to yield. You see, it wouldn't be a temptation in that sense unless there was something in the individual. But that wasn't true of Christ. He could say, the prince of this world cometh, he finds nothing in me. I don't know about you, friends, but every time he comes to me, he always finds some place to take hold of. Our Lord was wholly harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. And then it's used in another way. It's used in the Old Testament. God did tempt Abraham. Now, he tested Abraham. And the passage I read in Deuteronomy where God said, for 40 years, I tempted you in the wilderness. What he means is I proved you in the wilderness. I tested you. Now, that raises a question, and will you listen to me now very carefully? Could Christ have fallen? Listen to me. The answer is no. Then was it a legitimate temptation? It was a test, my friend. New articles are all tested, all tires. Everlastingly on the television, they're showing you the new model automobile, and they drive it through purgatory to show you that the thing will take it. Everything is tested. Not to break it down, it would be pretty embarrassing for the General Motor Company and also for Ford Motor Company and the others if their car broke down in a test. The Lord Jesus could not have fallen. And somebody says, well, then how could it be a test? Let me illustrate it with a very simple story that I've told many times. When I was a boy in West Texas, we lived on the West Fork of the Brazos. And in summertime, friends, there wasn't enough water in the Brazos to make a shingle nail rust. It was dry. But in wintertime, you could have floated a battleship down it. And one year we had a flood, and it washed out the railroad bridge that was over the Brazos. And we live right near it because the little town was right there on the Brazos. And the thing that happened was that the railroad came in immediately, the Santa Fe did, put in a new bridge. And when they got it finished, they brought two engines out, put them on top of the bridge, and then they tied the whistle down. We'd never heard two engines whistle at the same time. And all of us in that little town went down to the bridge. All 27 of us went down. And friends, when we got down there, we were curious, a lot of country folk. And one brave fellow in the crowd said, what are you doing? The engineer said, we're testing the bridge. He said, well, you think it'll break? And the engineer, with almost a sneer, says, of course it won't break. Well, why are you putting the engines on there? He says, just to prove that it won't break. That's what the temptation of the Lord Jesus is, to show that you and I got a Savior, friends, that's holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, able to save to the uttermost those who come unto God from Him. Now, He was tested in a way you and I have never been tested, and in a way that I think is tremendous. You see, when you and I are tested, there's always a breaking point. And when we reach that breaking point, we break, and then the pressure's removed. It was never removed from Him. And you have a threefold test here. It was physical, as you know, and it was psychological of the mind, and it was spiritual.